Hey, good morning, everybody. This is The Conversation. I am the co-host today. My name is John Stevenson, and I'm hosting with Dylan Hauserschlock.
Good enough. Thanks for the wild introduction.
And you can tell from our intro song that we're going to talk about generations with the focus of something that's been in the air for the last 60 days called OK Boomer. And that's what we want to do. And hopefully nobody gets offended, and we'll try and take a swing at this thing in a very lighthearted way and to glean a little bit about what a boomer might think of a millennial and what millennials think about boomers. And the expression OK Boomer is something that a millennial or a younger person would say to a boomer when they get a little frustrated and they put their flat hand up and say, OK Boomer, as if to say, enough of your crap.
Fair? Just to remind everyone, this is a call-in show and the phone number is 503-325-0010. And just call and interrupt us at any point in the conversation if you feel like you have something to say. And we will most assuredly take your call as soon as we can and put you on the airwaves.
Yeah.
Boomer or not. Boomer, millennial, silent generation, or otherwise.
Yeah, we'd really hear these points of view. And if you are a younger person, maybe you could articulate to everybody listening where this sense of frustration comes from. And Dylan and I will probably, you know, take a swing at it as far as trying to understand that frustration. And like I said, let's have some fun with it. Generational attributes are gross generalizations, and there's no way to pin any particular adjective on a generation and have it stand for everybody. And having said that, we should be able to have some fun with the stereotypes, at least.
You may want to start with explaining a little bit about the history behind OK Boomer.
Yeah.
And sort of the connotation of what it means.
Right. Well, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, and this started maybe 90 days ago on the outside. It's pretty new. And I believe it is an expression of frustration that the boomer generation is just not getting it right anymore and makes a lot of excuses, which the younger generations are just getting impatient with. And they find the boomers' rationales to just not hold water anymore. Fair?
Sure, I say that's fair.
325-0010. If you want to defend the boomers, or if you want to defend the millennials or the younger generations, then give us a call. Although I would probably say if this was a courtroom drama, Dylan would be the prosecutor, I would be the defense attorney, and the boomer generation is the perp.
Sure, if you say so. I'm more inclined, and I feel like I have somewhat of an expectation as the younger person to sort of take a certain position against the baby boomers. But I think the term OK Boomer is a real dismissive, hasty term. And I think it's used without a lot of thought behind it.
Well, I don't know. But it is dismissive by definition.
It's very dismissive.
Yeah.
And it's prejudice.
Well, prejudice would indicate there's no rationale for it. And I think as a member of the boomer age group, I think there are quite a number of things that the boomers haven't done well. And it's great that the younger generation can hold their feet to the fire and try and move them along. That, again, dealing in generalities, but there is a certain amount of willful ignorance on the part of my generation. And if you consider where some of this frustration might emanate from, just take a couple of the red hot issues, pardon the pun, but in regard to climate change, the ruling class just cannot get off their butts and get anything done. And I think that's expressed with the OK boomer frustration that my generation is just so full of excuses as to why they can't make progress on climate change. Same thing with income inequality, that we're having a hard time getting started to get anything done. The boomers just don't want to give up their dough.
Yeah, I think it's well spoken, John. I think we're going to have a caller here in a little while. There's something to be said of something called slacktivism. I'll get back to it in a moment, but I think we do have a caller on right now. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. This is KMUN. You're on the air right now.
How are you?
Good. I'm well.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Can you hear us okay?
Hello.
There, sir. My comment as a boomer and who's someone that's done a lot of volunteer work in the community, I think the millennials kind of dropped the ball, and the average boomer age now is in their 60s, and we've been toting the barge for a while, guys. Would you kind of step it up a little bit, or maybe you don't think volunteering and making the life better, maybe you've got other priorities? Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
If you want to hang on the line.
Yeah, this is a conversation, so we can do a little back and forth here, but I'm a little confused on what you mean. You don't think millennials are volunteering enough, giving enough of their time? Well, looks like we lost him apparently, but that was a bit, I'm not quite sure what he meant there by
step it up.
Yeah, millennials aren't stepping up, and that boomers have been carrying the barge for a long time.
Well,
they've certainly been alive for a long time, but I don't.
I disagree with that point of view that okay boomer is all about the younger generation stepping up and not being held back by the boomer generation. So I think they are stepping up, and okay boomer is a manifestation of that.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I don't quite see the point there.
Let me just give you some data, give you all some data about generations. And traditionally, a generation was seen as 20 years. But now it's measured by, it's more wide open, and certain generations are much longer than just 20 years. The greatest generation is the World War II folks, my parents' generation. And again, there's a lot of generalizations that we probably should avoid, but I don't think it would be unfair to say that the greatest generation saved the world and deserves, I guess that's why they have the moniker of the greatest generation. And that generally runs from the turn of the century, the turn of the 19th century, to about 1927, when the youngest person to serve in World War II would have been born. And then the generation that followed the greatest generation is referred to as the silent generation, and it usually runs between 1928 until the end of World War II. Boomers start at the end of World War II, 1945, and they go till 1964.
Hence the name, by the way, the baby boomers, all the soldiers coming back from war and starting their families.
Yeah, it was a huge population growth in that category. Gen X picks up right after the boomers and goes through the early 80s. Millennials, I didn't know this. I thought millennials were the current crop of youngsters, but they start in the early 80s and go through the early 2000s. And then there's this, the new title is Gen Z.
I think that's 2000 and after, isn't it?
2000 and after, yeah, post-millennial. So that's the category.
Chronologically speaking,
But let's just think about climate change as an example and the resistance to doing anything about it and trying to get what, if you want to call in and give us your 2 cents on what you think causes the boomer generation, because the boomers are the group of people that are in power, that have the power to achieve something. And we, as Americans in that category, in that generation, can't even admit that climate change exists, let alone all the scientific data that surrounds it. And I just, for the life of me, I can't understand what that resistance is. Is it willful ignorance? Is it, you know, political conservatism that somehow if we solve climate change, we're all going to go broke? I don't know the answer to that, but here's the horror of that is that the boomers are going to die off and their gift to the next generation is going to be, in America at least, is going to be climate change, and the next generation is going to have to do something about it for survival's sake. You add up to that incredible debt, which is going to be heaped by the boomers onto future generations. And, you know, that's quite an indictment, I think, of the boomer generation.
Well, and I think you just said it right there. That basically explains why I don't think baby boomers are quite as concerned about climate change, is that they've already lived through their whole lives without having to deal with it. And it's only at the very, very tail end of their lives that it's coming upon them. And a lot of them, if not all of them, will be gone in time for them to experience it. So yeah, they won't have to deal with the repercussions of not having to deal with it.
Exactly. And it almost seems like the attitude is, well, to hell with it. Let's just party like it's the end of the world.
And they've kicked the can. Yeah. That's what my philosophy teacher used to say. We're kicking the can, and we're kicking the can generation down generation. And my generation, and I think I was born in 99, so I'm technically considered a millennial. I'm right on that cusp of Gen Z and millennial. But we're the last generation. Actually, Generation X was the last generation that even had the ability to kick the can. The can is at the very end of the line.
Yeah.
The can of climate change, that is, can no longer be kicked any further. And it's reported with that within the next 10 years, it'll be a complete climate crisis. I think we have a caller right now. Hello, this is KMUN. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I heard you sort of pose the question about why boomers have apathy or whatever towards climate change and issues like that. And I think somebody put a meme that I think is apt, that it explains kind of like, you know, that the boomers blame the millennials and vice versa, but really it's kind of like the ruling class, the oligarchs that are, you know, it's like the boomers went to war, you know, they didn't necessarily plan or, you know, cause the wars that they went and fought in. They didn't, you know, these are all things that are kind of propagated through certain elite class. So I don't know that it's necessarily anyone's fault. I think maybe the boomers just have a sort of maybe are intimidated with technology in a certain way related to climate change. And sort of they don't feel like it's their problem or that, you know, that they're going to come up with a solution. That's my sense, but I don't.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. However, where I think the boomers are culpable is they are the ruling class, broadly speaking, and they have the wherewithal to at least get the ball rolling on solutions. But I don't know. I listen to a lot of right-wing talk radio, and it's amazing again, I go to the phrase willful ignorance, that they just refuse to be informed. And I think that's where you get the frustration of the younger generations, is that they're just gobsmacked as to how people can be so dumb on purpose. Does that not make sense?
I mean, I've wondered the same thing, and I don't really know what the answer. I think it's just, I mean, I think it seems like a generational problem that they maybe they have contributed to or have ability to resolve, but they don't, you know, that they want to take it up. You know, maybe it's like for the next generation. I hear people express that kind of sentiment, like you guys got to take the torch kind of thing, you know, like, and right. It's not rational necessarily, but I think that's maybe the sentiment behind it.
It's hard to get to the heart of a climate change denier. You know, is there a religious aspect to it? Is it just greed that it's going to cost them or it could mess up their retirement? I don't have an answer for what goes on in that black heart, but it does seem like there is a culpability because the boomers are in power. The boomers, more than any other age demographic, elected Donald Trump. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to take responsibility for that. It reminds me of the Iraq War, where all of a sudden all of the faux patriotism suddenly evaporated, and nobody likes it now. Whereas if you roll it back to the time that war was initiated, it was, you know, Bill O'Reilly would have called you a traitor for not wanting to go to Iraq.
Well, I appreciate this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you especially.
503-325-0010. I thought of something funny. See if I can get a laugh out of Dylan. So, very popular dog name is Boomer. And if your dog is named Boomer, just be aware that all he's hearing is okay, Boomer, which is like permission to do anything he wants. So you may have to not let Boomer watch TV or something.
Here's one assumption.
That's a
crack challenge. Ha ha. Here's one assumption I think is vital to this conversation, is that the idea that boomers are the ruling class and are in power. What makes you think that right now?
Well, I think statistically it can be manifested through they control the wealth and it's their time. I don't think it's unusual that particular age demographic isn't in charge when they hit a certain age. But I do believe that they're running the show right now. If you look at the makeup of the federal government and elected officials.
That's what I was going to point to. I don't know if you know this offhand, but what's the earliest you can be elected to Congress?
25.
Well, how come no 25-year-olds are running?
Well, they are.
In mass.
Well, I don't know about in mass, but this last election in 2018 was a sort of a sea change of women being elected to Congress. Mm-hmm. And if you think about the squad, the four women that are under attack continually, I don't know if any of those four are even over 40 at this point. So there is some movement. And it is shifting a little bit. But when you listen to science, and the science is not debatable, it is consensus that climate change is happening and that it's caused by man. After those two facts, then it can go a little watery or wobbly in terms of the time frames and what the consequences are, and that becomes more debatable. But we can't even get to the point where we admit that it's happening and that it's man-made. And America pretty much stands alone on Earth in this resistance to science. And it's, again, I think you got to point at the boomers for whatever reason.
However, I would also argue that in terms of, I don't know the exact statistic, but in 2016... voter turnout for young people and for millennials was just terribly low.
I can't explain that. I think you're right.
And it's like, you know, if young people are the ones that are so adamant about changing things and they're the ones that are going to have to deal with the repercussions, how come they're the ones that are not running for office the most and are also voting the most?
I don't have an answer.
We've got a caller. Hello, this is KMUN. You're on the airwaves.
Hi, am I on the air?
You are.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for letting me in on the conversation.
Oh, no, thank you for calling.
So I have a few thoughts, and they're all kind of scattershot. So can I just have at him?
Go, yeah, have at him.
So that first caller that was talking about millennials stepping up, I kind of take an issue with that one too. And I think the big deal is that volunteering is kind of a privilege of the retired, because if you are in the working class at the moment, it's pretty hard to have the time to volunteer. Mm-hmm. And I speak as someone who does actively volunteer and work full time. But my heart certainly goes out to people who are raising a family or are working more than one job to make ends meet, you know.
And I find myself also in a similar circumstance, by the way, while working and trying to volunteer and keeping those two things in balance. That's an incredibly hard thing to do.
I think you're right that it is more difficult for someone that is bringing up a family or working two jobs to find the time to volunteer. But I don't think that is unique to the current generations. I think it's something that has been going on for some time, and it cuts across each generation. And generally speaking, I think it is the retired folks that are the most active in volunteerism. I don't have data on that, but that's my sense.
And I respect that and I appreciate that, but I do think that just some understanding of the position that the other is in is kind of what this whole conversation is about. You know, do the millennials have an understanding of the position that the boomers in, and vice versa?
Not particularly.
But I think one difference between the boomer generation and the generations that have followed is, I don't know that the way things are going, that anyone is ever going to have it as good in as far as pursuing the American dream as the baby boomer generation did. And I think that that's one way that boomers can acknowledge that there is a difference between them and the other, which is the younger generations. And so, you know, the ability to buy a house, the ability to have health care, to build a retirement, and even to have, you know, the idea of having one career for your whole life is not a reality for younger generations. Things are very different now.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. You know, there's a thing which is referred to often, which is, I want my kids to have a better life than I had. But when you look at the blessings bestowed upon the boomers, it's going to be tough to do better than that for the next generations. I can't say that unequivocally, but boomers, and this is a genuine criticism, they took everything their parents had, and now they're taking everything their kids have away from them. So, you know, I lose a little respect for the boomers in that regard, in that I don't know if it's economically or by any other measurement possible that anybody could have it better than the boomers.
Yeah, and I think that this is a time when technology in the medical field is changing, where people are having a better life for longer. And there is sort of a perceived clinging to life where, you know, use every medical technique as possible to extract every day, hour, and minute out of your lifespan as you can. And I, as someone who experienced death as a young person, not myself per se, but, you know, people that I knew, and giving death a lot of thought, there is a big fear of death in our culture. And I don't think that it's particularly healthy to pursue an extended lifespan at all costs, including at the cost of being able to pass something on to your kids, you know, because the hospitals and the care facilities can extract every single cent of wealth that you have possibly saved your entire life within a very short couple of weeks almost, depending on what kind of procedures and solutions you pursue. And so, you know, so that's one other thought. One other thing I wanted to mention is that I think that every generation has its legends. And so, you know, the legends of rock and roll and, you know, protest songs and folk music and all that stuff from the 60s, mm-hmm. the Woodstock, all that stuff. But I think maybe some of the, what's fueling the okay boomer thing is again just that acknowledgement that maybe the other has legends of their own, and there's sort of an egocentricity about it, where it's like, well, what about the festivals that are still happening, and what about the musicians who are writing protest songs now? You know, will there ever be another Bob Dylan, or will there ever be another Beatles? I think that there's been a few at least, but yeah. Do they get the same recognition? And that to me is kind of a distinct boomer thing. I hope it's okay. I welcome people to counter me on this, but two other quick things, because I know that we're getting toward the top of the hour.
We have
some other calls. But
yeah, we do have one more caller waiting, so real rapid fire.
So the generation thing is always changing. I was raised Generation X, but now I'm just told that I'm not Generation X by John's data. And Generation X was kind of trained to sit back and watch the world burn. And what we heard from the generation that preceded was, well, we tried and we almost succeeded to make a change with flower power, but we didn't. And now everybody should just give up because we tried and we failed, but nobody else could possibly, you know. And then the last thing is just doomsday speak. So, you know, Dylan, you mentioned climate crisis in 10 years. I am so sick of the media saying that, you know, Y2K is going to be the end, or 2012 is going to be the end, or climate change is going to be the end. You know, it's like, we got to stop thinking in terms of it's do or die.
With the end of everything ever.
Let's just start making some changes that improve things little by little, because we're going to be around for a long time. Things are not coming to an end. We're not all going to die catastrophically. So I think that the divide and conquer tactics of OK Boomer or Republican and Democrat is one problem with media today. And one of the other ones is any kind of doomsday speak. So that's it. Thanks for indulging me with all my random thoughts about this.
Thanks for calling.
Yep,
you could have a career in radio with a voice like that.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll try.
Yeah, see you later. No, I thought that was good material. And one thing that spoke to me the most about that was that this really is, at the end of the day, a conversation about trying to see one another's perspective. It's almost the top of the hour. We got one more phone call. Hello, this is KMUN. You're on the air right now.
Hi, I think generation differences are really complex. For example, presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg is 37 years old but receives 45% support from voters over 65. On the other hand, 77-year-old Bernie Sanders gets approval from 31% of the 18 to 29-year-old group.
I was just about to mention Bernie Sanders.
Donald Trump gets 42% approval, but 51% of voters over 65 approve impeachment removal from office. So I think generational differences have a great deal to do with perspectives on the past, present, and future. For example, few Americans really endorse the present circumstance. Lots of older Americans want to return to the stability and security of the past, and the millennials, understandably, are worried about their future and that of their planet. So I think it's really complex.
Yeah, and I think that might be a unique thing that we haven't seen before, that the thing that you mentioned about Bernie's appeal to the younger folks and Mayor Pete's appeal to the older folks. It's counterintuitive,
yeah. And
at least my reckoning would be it hasn't really happened like that before.
No, it's the first time for me.
Yeah.
There's a certain appeal of seeing a member of an older generation espouse a younger viewpoint, or what you perceive to be a younger viewpoint.
Yeah, well, we think we've lived many decades and we've had successes and learned from our failures, but the young people think that we're dinosaurs and really out of the loop.
Well, they've got a point.
Yeah.
There is. I mean,
they've
again,
got some, to an extent, they've got. Yeah.
Making gross generalizations is a problem, especially when you're talking about millions and millions of people and diverse points of views. But by stereotype, the boomers need to act. And whatever it is that compels them to sit on their butts and vote for Donald Trump and deny climate change and endorse income inequality and not want to do it, embrace ignorance with regard to what socialism is, that there's a million miles between capitalism and socialism with many, many stops along the way, but we keep getting sucker punched by media that somehow has managed to shackle our brains. And
well said.
Caller, if I can indulge you in just one second, we're nearly to the end of the program here, and I'd like to end on somewhat of a positive note. What do you think, and John, I want you to weigh on this too, what do you think is the best way cross-generationally that we can interact with each other in a more productive way that's not so dismissive as okay, boomer? Because I find that to be a real dismissive, you know, okay, boomer. It really stops the conversation.
Well, I would say as a boomer that we need to listen to your generation.
Right.
I kind of see okay, boomer as just comedy. I mean, it has a basis in frustration, but it's pretty lighthearted, I think. But as the caller indicated, none of the young people are putting their hand up to Bernie and saying, okay, boomer. Mm. He's resonating with them, and you got to give them credit because he is not charismatic in the way that might appeal to younger people. I think younger Bernie supporters like his message. And they've thought it through, I think, whereas the boomers, and to some degree, are scared to death of Bernie.
Caller, we've got about a minute left in the show, actually more like 40 seconds at this point, but what's a better way we can communicate?
Well, I think we need to zip our lips and start listening to each other, be more tolerant, and value diversity.
Well, that has been the key in the past. Certainly, America has always been proud about its diversity, I think. You know, when I hear Donald Trump say, make America great again, and if you happen to be an African-American in the 1950s, you have to kind of wonder what was so great about it.
Thank you. This has been The Conversation. You can catch
Thanks
it
for
as
calling.
A podcast. And thank you, caller. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and online at coastradio.org. You can find a podcast.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. A stabbing attack near London Bridge today has left